Good afternoon. Today is Friday, September the 27th, the 267th day of the new year. We're almost three quarters of the way through.
That's right. That's right.
Woof.
It's dark at 8 o'clock now.
Yeah.
And we're still in daylight savings time.
Pretty
soon it'll be dark at 7.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be frightening too. Joining us this afternoon, simple country therapist Lou Quimby.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
When we come back, we've got quotes, we've got a show, and hopefully we've got a couple grins also when we come back.
I would hope so.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. But before we do our quote this afternoon, sir.
A couple of quotes, actually. They're all about television. This is from Ann Landers. Television has proved that people will look at anything rather than each other. And then one from Ellen Korenk. Television is more interesting to people. If it were not, we would have people standing in the corners of our rooms. And then this is either Fred Allen or Ernie Kovacs.
Kovacs. Got to be Kovacs.
Television is a medium because anything well done is rare. And then last but not least, from a TV repairman in a Ziggy cartoon, your picture tube is okay, but your cabinet has Dutch elm disease. which brings up the issue about TV as opposed to conversation.
I was thinking reality versus fantasy.
Well, then, reality TV is still a lot of fantasy. If you look at reality TV, you know that everything is edited. They got to select the pieces of reality they're going to show you, right?
You mean Rick and the guys at the pawn shop aren't there all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and when we come into Vegas,
they're not there waiting for us? They're not there to greet you.
Oh.
Say, hi, we've been waiting for you.
Yeah.
No. And they never say how much they pay their friends who come in to evaluate
the consultants.
They never say, yeah, we give them $100. They never say how much they pay them.
Well, you know, considering we did one of our shows, and Ange did a little bit of digging, that each of the guys, not the experts, but the main characters, the least paid is Chumley. But he's still knocking out about $40,000 an episode.
Well,
the tennis shoes are an optional. They don't have to keep it together.
He is the perfect foil. And if they didn't have him, they'd have to invent him. Because, you know, Kaka rolls downhill, paydays on Friday, and he's there with his Kaka bucket just taking all the Kaka from all the guys. And if they didn't have him, they'd have to invent him.
Or there'd be an explosion with everybody else attacking one another.
I expect that he's not like that off camera.
No.
I expect he's a lot sharper blade than they make him out to be. Because when you see him in some of those outside things, like the shoot-off, and he's the one who wins, and some other thing. I think he's a cagey fellow, right?
Well, he gets the opportunity to play with all the fun toys, too.
Right, and they make a nickel because all the psychodynamics that go on about who's right and who's wrong. And then there's the dad and the son wants to take over, and he's constantly pushing dad's authority. And then there's the old man.
And grandpa, yeah.
And grandpa, who just sits there and he does scoff, right? He doesn't do anything of particular except, no, it's wrong. Yeah. So they got a perfect family going there in terms of dynamics, right? And none of it is particularly mean-spirited. It's just kind of like regular family grab ass. Oop, can I say that on the air?
Yeah.
It's just like regular family stuff, you know? It's not
so
super dysfunctional. It's just...
That's why I was warning you, on your dysfunctional scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, I would give it a 5.
Middle of the road, normal,
middle of the road,
regular.
Yeah, kind of regular. It's like brothers fighting with each other, but at school they'll stand up for each other. You know, the loyalty is there and all like that. So I wouldn't get between any of those guys and their family.
No, no.
You know what I mean?
I sense that there are some claws and fangs.
Yeah. Plus.
When needed.
Plus, they're really making a nickel off this program.
Oh.
So, they like...
Who is the default expert in the country? Boom, the Harrisons.
Say again?
The default expert in that industry. It's those guys.
Oh, yeah.
End of story. It's over.
In the country, yeah.
Yeah, there's no... Yeah.
If you want the last word, go there.
On one of the travels, when Stefan was playing AAU, we went there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It was a Sunday afternoon before we had to fly out.
Was it loaded? Was it store jammed? Or?
It was interesting because I didn't know what the name of the place was at that time.
Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Gold and Silver.
Gold and Silver. Pawn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Guess what they have? A vast majority of.
Gold and Silver.
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. It's jewelry with goodies.
Yeah, yeah.
And so all the stuff that you tend to see.
On the program is all peripheral.
Is in the storeroom.
Yeah.
Or is over here, over there. Maybe. I mean, we saw the Hendrix, the green thing.
Come inside
saw,
the door, you see the big layout or whatever, right.
But it was interesting, the dynamic, and what I was got out of
their
that.
Their bread and butter is in the gold and silver.
But the interest of what the show is in the history. And the dynamics and the stories behind the history and the signatures.
In the family history items. Or the history of the stuff?
The history of the stuff.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So that's...
And then they got their experts they bring in if they're stumped or need a little extra something.
And relying on experts.
Huh?
Relying on experts and consultants.
Yeah,
I mean, that's all part of it, too.
Yeah.
All right. Now that we've done a thorough profile of a television program.
Well, see, this was a conversation you and I have had. Instead of watching TV, we're talking about something.
And we'll talk about more something when we come back.
Jolly good.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:23. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of these reality shows, I know where it started.
Do you?
Yeah.
Where?
It was called, instead of having to spend $40 million a show, we can spend $1 million a show.
And have them do the acting out.
Yeah, and we need a quarter of the ratings, and we win.
That's right.
That's where it all started. Okay.
And we can edit the heck out of this.
Oh, sure. Real people, you know, the Survivor thing.
Yeah.
I guess you can go back to Jeopardy and some of the early game shows as the first.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Kind of the ones that weren't fixed.
How about Queen for a Day, if you want reality?
Sure. Or, you know, the millionaire, the guy, the millionaire.
All the people under 30 are going, what?
Yeah. So is this, in a weird sense, either group therapy or voyeuristic tendencies that we all have to watch somebody else and get involved? And I bet you if we said Pawn Stars, everybody's got their favorite. Everybody's got the guy they don't like that much, the favorite expert, the coolest thing. Dun, dun, dun. You know, and it is, I know it is, because I saw others I asked when we were there, a mecca for people who are looking for places to go on vacations. They'll go to Vegas to go there.
That's right.
Not to go to Vegas and watch the night shows or to gamble.
To go there.
To see, yeah.
Right. So the answer to your question is yes. There's an expression in German, I can't remember it exactly, but Schulenfraud or something like that. Or Schulenfreude, or something like that, and it has to do with the fun of watching other people's misery. And the English would be there, but for the grace of God, go I, right? It's like the program, the world's dumbest criminals, the world's dumbest vacationers.
You see people hurting themselves
and doing dumb stuff, right? Yeah. And so there's also the voyeuristic joy of watching somebody do something you think you might do or could do or might have done or thought about, or and then they land on their, they do a face plant, and you go, oh, geez, that's going to hurt. And then you turn the TV off and go have a Coke or a Pepsi, right?
So there's I need a drink after that one.
So there's that aspect. Then there's the educational aspect of, well, I'll never do that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
You learn what you don't want to do as far as pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then kids go to school and that and go, oh, well, if I want to do that, then I got to be more careful. But I'm still not going to wear a helmet. you follow me? So the educational value varies.
Yeah. So are video games?
Oh my goodness.
An extension of
reality TV? Oh, my goodness.
You get
to kill people and blow things up and murder and pillage. And,
well, I mean, same thing as a movie or a TV show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's about fantasy engagement. But fantasy engagement, if it's quality, engages their parent value system, your adult thinking, and your child feelings. Plus, you get involved in all the history of your own life and the fantasy history about what the actors and actors are coming from. So it's fairly complex when you look at the entertainment value, because there's lots of emotional back and forth. It isn't just a simple presentation of a drama. And if you go to a Shakespeare play and you can sort through the English, and you can sort through that, or if you read the play beforehand so you got some idea of what it is.
Isn't that why they have cliff notes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Read the cliff notes before you go. Get a heads up on what's happening. Then you can really get involved in the angst of all the misery that's going on and the huge drama triangle maneuvers and manipulations. And
well, and the political references.
And how people get into stuff and have no idea how to get out because they don't realize how they got in. So if you got
isn't that your career?
Yes.
Oh, that's what I thought. Okay.
That is my career.
I knew you were Shakespearean at your taproot there.
The old taproot, yeah. So kids get a skateboard and forget the helmet and they're free. Until they wind up in the hospital. But the interesting thing about some of the stuff is, as I watch some of that stuff, is they do not do any cognitive work about the consequences of how the physics operate. They don't do vector analysis or what happens if or like that. And so this is all learning the hard way.
But there are other programs that do that. Some of the automotive programs, some of the...
Well, Mythbusters.
The Mythbusters.
Mythbusters, yeah. It's all about physics and chemistry and vector analysis, and they take you step by step through it, too. And they do small examples, and they scale it up to bigger ones, and then bigger ones, until they get a full-scale automobile going at 60 miles an hour.
Oh, look, it doesn't transfer that well.
Is it? Yeah, well, they did a...
Yeah.
They did a study on tailgating with an automobile behind a 18-wheeler. And at 15 feet, it was a little bit, 10 feet, a little bit more, 5 feet, a lot more. And when they got up to 6 or 8 inches, they could gain like 20 miles an hour or 20 miles per gallon in...
Oh, the drafting?
In drafting, yeah. But that's 6 to 8 inches. No. A deer jumps out.
That's NASCAR.
A deer jumps out in front of that truck, and he dynamites the brakes, and you're 6 to 8 inches. There's no reaction time.
Mileage suddenly declines significantly, yeah.
All of a sudden, you got the hood in your lap and the engine underneath you.
And antlers in the back seat.
But they did those under highly controlled conditions with scientific calculations and response times. And they wore helmets, too.
And fire suits. That's KINS, right. News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
This is the final weekend to get a free iComfort box spring or $1,000 off any iSeries adjustable foundation at Burns Furniture. Don't miss this super savings opportunity when you buy any iComfort or iSeries mattress at Burns. Get a Serta Perfect Sleeper Queen mattress set for just $399 too. But the savings absolutely end after Sunday. Get to Burns Furniture for the free iComfort box spring offer or the $1,000 discount on an adjustable foundation. Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby.
So, you know, as we talk about these things, I can see people out there going, boy, is this a lightweight show? Yeah, they're just kind of shooting the bull with each other. But that's why I was talking about the TV thing at the beginning, because people have lost some of the fine art of conversation. So as you and I have been talking about this stuff, each of us adding our own stuff, you ask questions, I ask questions, and we get each other's framework, value system, the feelings about stuff, and we get to trade stories about this stuff. And in the conversation, then, we get to know each other better about our value system, our feelings, our experience, what you did, what I did, what you did that I didn't do, and how I maybe could do that one. And I think that's very important in developing a relationship, is just knowing how to have a conversation with somebody.
Well, isn't that one of the magic of breaking bread?
Yeah.
I mean, that used to be...
At the dinner table, you break bread, and you chat, and you visit, and you find out each other's days. And like I tell people, there's two jobs to parenthood: food, clothing, shelter, and do your homework. And the other one is paying attention to a child's personhood, how they think, how they feel, what they believe, what's important to them, why they hate their math teacher, but they like their social studies teacher, blah, blah, blah. And that works for grown-ups, too. Paying attention to each other's personhood. When you do that, then you inquire and you tell stories and you share experiences without judgment, and you get to know each other. Now, my judgment, of course, was no helmets, but that's more of an observation about them not paying attention to consequences. So as we tell each other stories about things, then we're gauging each other's sense of responsibility about what we've done and didn't do. You went bungee jumping with an electrical cord? There were a couple of drunks did that off a bridge. They
didn't bounce real well.
Well, they were going to jump off the bridge, and they didn't have a bungee cord. So this guy found a cable of electrical wire, and he wrapped it around his foot and jumped off the bridge. You can guess what happened.
Yeah.
He lost his foot.
Yeah, just ripped right through it.
He just cut his foot right off. Yeah. Now, that's drunk. Well, that's one. Two, no judgment involved. I mean, they just, oh, that sounds like a good idea. So how many times have you and I done, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Yeah. Probably not very many.
No, not of that significance.
Not of that significance, right.
I think we've all picked up our teeth and gone home.
So, yeah.
Periodically, so, yeah.
One of the things that I think about when I'm working is, are people paying attention to what the consequences are of what they're doing, thinking, feeling, saying? And it's the consequences that we have to live with.
The concept of, I guess, of consequences is something that's foreign to a lot of folks.
Because they don't think further ahead than their nose.
Well, I'm wondering if a lot of it is societal. T-ball.
Impulse.
T-ball is cool for the little guys, right?
Right.
Everybody wins. Nobody loses. Everybody gets to bat. There's no winner or loser because we want everybody to feel good.
Well, it's either
age appropriate. Yeah, in there too.
I'm not into the feel good thing. I'm into the everybody gets to have a shot at the same experience. That is, hit the ball. Because if you're a little kid and somebody's pitching at you, you can collapse in exhaustion before you hit the ball. But if you got T-ball, then everybody gets a chance to hit the ball and run the base, right? Then as you get older and older, not everybody's cut out for baseball, period. So kids begin to sort themselves out after a while about, I'm not good at baseball, or I'm not good at football. I'm really good at tiddlywinks, or I'm really good at badminton, but I'm not good at football. So they begin to sort themselves out. Now, if you got a kid who's learning about their capacities, physical, emotional, intellectual, social capacities, and all you do is want them to feel good, you're going to cripple them. Because life isn't always about feeling good, because everybody gets to be a winner. No, that's not the way it works. You get to find out where your skills are and then play to those. So one of the ways to do that is if you're involved in something where you're not skilled, you will fail. You will lose. Then instead of feeling bad about it, you go, oh, I'm not skilled there. I'm going to do something else, which is a smart thing to do, recognizing one's skill level.
Or work on skill development.
Or work on skill development, yeah.
I mean, if you've never swam before and you jump in the deep end, yeah. Odds are you're going to need some assistance and need to start in the shallow end.
I know a kid who was hot stuff on a baseball team in high school. And so he picked a junior college to go to because he wanted to be on the baseball team. He got cut during the first tryouts. Now, there is a really big heads up for a kid who was hot stuff in high school. Now, that could make him or break him. Like he could go downhill in a big way, that way. Drugs, alcohol.
Just reliving high school, and that's it.
Yeah, that's right.
Was it the Springsteen song, Glory Days?
Glory Days,
yeah. Over and over the same.
And then there's the college ball player who replays his college ball victories. And then there's Wrong Way Corrigan, who plays his college failure over and over and over again, endlessly, right? So.
Who was a very good athlete.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But, just ran the wrong
we
way.
Don't remember him for that one.
Lost the game. Yeah. Too bad. So sad. Your head. Yeah, not good.
The concept of learning that way, there's tactile learning.
Yeah.
Emotional learning. Got to do it.
Visual learning.
Yeah. Are those genetically hardwired into us? Or can some...
That's been my experience. Is
so if you're tactile, you just got to do it.
There's the tendency is genetic, and then there's all sorts of childhood upbringing experiences that reinforce that. Now, there are people who are born left-handed, and they're forced into doing everything right-handed, writing, schoolwork, baseball, football, whatever. But their genetic tendency is to be left-handed. And some people, after they're all grown up and they get out of the school system, say, and sometimes they revert to left-handed stuff. They learn how to play golf left-handed and because that's their natural feel. But at that point, they can use either set of clubs because they've learned how to play golf right-handed. And then they revert to left-handed golf, and they're fine with that, too.
I wonder...
Now they're ambidextrous.
I wonder how it would be received. No, not ambidextrous. If you had alternating clubs.
Well, they're ambi-skilled.
Left and right.
Oh.
How long it would take before the others in your group or the guys.
Paid attention to what you were doing.
Across the fairway. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, sir, you got 28 clubs in your bag. No. I've only got 14 left and 14 right. Yeah. I've only got 14 clubs.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44.
It is indeed. Here we are, enjoying the fine art of conversation.
Yes, yes, interrupted by commercial breaks or interrupted by program segments, depending on which side of the county that you're on here. The concept of conversation art, aren't there really protocols? Not manners.
The first protocol is... find out about the other person's experience. And you'll find out something about their experience, and then you can usually relate to something they're saying. And then when they're finished with their story, then you can pick up on what you relate to and tell your story. And then they listen to your story and they find something they can relate to. And then they tell their story. And so this is a series of little stories that go back and forth and back and forth with polite timing.
By now?
Some.
Yeah, let me step on your tongue four times and see if we can continue. Yeah.
And so you get to know each other's stories and you get to see how you're the same and different. Because we are more alike than we are different, as far as that goes.
And isn't that an interesting evolution from one's perspective of being unique,
yeah,
and an individual to part of the game?
I'm really, really different. No, you're not.
Yeah. Wait.
Wait. You've insulted me to the quick. You don't have any quick.
Yeah, you're more of a medium slow.
You're more of a medium slow and not quick. And then humor is important, too. And you start gauging each other's humor, the depth, the extent, the breadth, the kind. And you and I haven't said anything sarcastic to each other during this hour.
Not yet.
Not yet, he said sarcastically.
Not totally lost. Good, that's
right. And neither of us are particularly sensitive about sarcasm because we know our own minds pretty well. So back to protocols in conversation. So as you're talking, conversing with people, you got to be careful about what their sensitivities are. So there's no point in conversation of giving unwarranted insult or abridgment of dignity.
If that's how it's taken.
Well,
we can flip it back and forth and say the same words.
Yeah, but we've known each other for 15 years.
One of the interesting things for me, and I guess this probably will be the last interesting thing I can say in this show, is the cultural difference.
Because I'm already done.
Yeah. Cultural South is different than the Northeast.
Oh, yeah.
It's different than the West, the Southwest, America versus other countries, other cultures.
And that makes for such richness in the conversation, is finding out about all those differences and how the similarities are dealt with those differences. Because as humans, we're pretty much the same.
Well, sarcasm doesn't play in some cultures.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you pick up your teeth for the third time, you realize that this isn't a trail to go down.
I've been the wrong thing here three or four times. Not good. And I'm not wearing my helmet either.
Flying downhill at full speed, yeah. Is there a universal, simple way to say, oops, I'm sorry?
Yeah, you just say, I beg your pardon, I meant no harm.
So you can learn.
And then if they bristle even more, you say, and I won't do it again.
Ever. Goodbye.
And if they don't take it, that means they're intent on just beating you to death. So the conversation's over at that point. But most people will accept, I beg your pardon, I meant no harm, at face value. And then if it happens again and again and again, that means you didn't mean it in the first place. So don't say I'm sorry unless you mean it. That's one of the other protocols you're talking about. Yeah.
Pretty simple, pretty straightforward stuff if you're paying attention.
If you're paying attention and you're wearing your helmet.
And if you're not wearing your helmet or not paying attention.
Ouch.
Okay. Doomed for a life of repeatedness.
Where's my mouth guard?
Yeah. Maybe face guard might be more appropriate.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Guard, yeah.
Full helmet for this
hockey
one.
Hockey helmet.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by. Enjoy your trip.
Thank you.
There we go. Got to give him the last word. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.